Our times are marked by fierce independence and a deep sense of personal entitlement. Many of today's children defy authority and celebrate their unbridled freedom as a God-given right. The outcome is disappointing. Tragically, despite the best intentions of many parents to rear their children well, many sons and daughters no longer feel a sense of responsibility to uphold a moral standard. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll identifies one of the root issues that have caused this alarming trend. Coming from the 13-part series called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times, Chuck presents a message called Respecting Authority.
David moves from about age 18, 19, all the way to age 30, running for his life because of this madman named Saul. He lived like an animal from one cave to another, dodging Saul's spear. Look at the end of verse 14, chapter 23. Look at this. Saul hunted him day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. They hear the boots go by. Saul never catches him. Chapter 24, verse 1. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel. You wonder if he's afraid? 3,001 people going after one man. He chose them from all over Israel, and they went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. By the way, En-Gedi means the spring of the wild goats. And so there are beautiful waterfalls up there when you take the journey. You'll see them. It's a great place to hang out, if you will, for an hour or so. I wouldn't want to live there 12 years. Verse 3, at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. Now pause so you can picture it, maybe not for long, but take a moment. I call that being vulnerable. So Saul is looking out to the mouth of the cave on his haunches, and it happened that David and his men are hiding farther back in that very same cave. You know, the first thought is, it's amazing how the Lord makes it possible for me to finish off my enemy. This is my moment. In fact, that's what the men wanted him to do. Look at verse 4. Here's the counsel of people around you when they see that you're being mistreated. Now's your opportunity. Today, the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish. Kind of helps to toss the name of the Lord into it, doesn't it? You know, look, David, wake up. I mean, there he is. That's him. So David crept forward. I love scenes like this. And he sliced off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. Isn't that a great moment? Saul doesn't know it. David's got this little piece of his robe. Verse 5. You're going to see the greatness of David right here. But then, David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my lord the king, he said to his men. The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. Look, that's why David's called a man after God's own heart. Not perfect, but he had a heart, a tender heart. He knew that he had taken unfair advantage of the anointed king. He should not have done that. Not even a little piece of his robe. The verse continues, after Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My Lord, the king!" Saul looked around and David bowed low before. Look at this. He bowed low. I spoke earlier about humbling yourself. He bows down. Then he shouted to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true, for the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said, I will never harm the king. He's the Lord's anointed. Look. Look, King Saul. Look at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I'm not trying to harm you, and I've not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. Look at that, Saul. Look. That's how close I was to you. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you were trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. Those are words of respect. The Lord may have other plans, but not me. I will never harm you. I will never lay a hurting hand on you. As the old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. He repeats it. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one? Look at the humility. Who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? There's no pride in David. You have no reason to fear me, Saul. I'm really a piece of lint on the page. May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate. He will rescue me from your power. That's the reason he could do it. He knew that behind the scenes, the Lord would be at work. When David finishes his speech, Saul speaks. It's a beautiful scene. Saul's bottom jaw is on his chest as he watches David, and he says, is it really you, my son, David? Then he began to cry. He began to cry. He said to David, you're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. There's a word over in Romans that talks about pouring coals of fire on the head of the enemy when you do what is right. Here's an example. Saul is taken by shame. He's pierced through with guilt. You're a better man than I am. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. Now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Indeed, it did. To this day, the flag is called the flag of David, the sign of David. The city is called the city of David to this day. Saul realized he had misjudged him. And then he says, swear to me that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants, which was common in those days. David promised. You know what? I want you to write in the margin of your Bible, Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you will, when a woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even her enemies to be at peace with her. David had done what is right. Saul was still alive until you get to the end of the story. 1 Samuel 28, or 31 it is. It's a battle scene, and Saul, along with his son Jonathan, are taken in the battle. There's some question whether Saul took his own life or whether someone else speared him. Be that as it may, he dies. David doesn't know about it till later. I want you to look at David's response. Chapter 1 of 2 Samuel 1. The Amalekite, verse 10, told David, so I killed him, for I knew he couldn't live. I took his crown and his armband, and I brought them here to you, my Lord. David and his men tore their clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. Isn't it interesting? There's no rejoicing. There's no, well, it's about time. Or finally, the old man is gone. Out of my life. He mourns the death. And would you believe, verse 17, David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan and commanded that it be taught to the people of Judah. No more Saul is slain as thousands and David is 10,000. Sing this song. And in the verses that follow, 19 down through 27, is the song David composed. Over and over, this chorus is repeated. What is it? Verse 19, how the mighty heroes have fallen. It may mean more to you if you hear it as David may have said it. Achi naflu gibarim bifil kamil kama. Feel the emotion there? How the mighty are fallen in battle. The reward is what? Verse 4, chapter 2. Then the men of Judah came to David and crowned him king over the people of Judah. You know what I call those 12, 13 years? It's a period of time where David learned to king it. Some of you are in a period of time like that. Learn from David. There are lessons to be learned in humility. There are things you can pick up and begin to model as God crushes you. I think it was Tozer who said, it's doubtful God can use anyone greatly till he has hurt him deeply. You're being hurt? I understand. More importantly, David, he's written songs for you, and they fill the book of Psalms. There's not a hint of pleasure over the death of his archenemy. Not a breath of relief. There's genuine grief. And then God takes this broken man and puts a crown on his head, and he becomes the king for the next 40 years. What a story. It's a magnificent story of how the Lord takes a situation that is a real dilemma, where a man has the power to retaliate, but he doesn't because of the respect of God's hand in the life of another. And as a result, the Lord rewards him, and he becomes the king. But you know what, men and women? It's just a story in this great book, just black print on white pages, if we don't gain insight from it. I share that insight with you in closing. It won't take long, but I do want you to write it down. You're going to need it. Perhaps you now need it. 4 easy-to-remember principles that will help you as you're in a situation that's filled with dilemmas and you're told to respect authority. First, since people are sinful, expect to be mistreated. Since people are sinful, expect to be mistreated. Expect to be misunderstood. Expect to be misquoted. And if I may, expect to be disrespected. People are sinful. Saul isn't unique. Saul may be your boss. Saul may be your coach. Saul may be your instructor. The same nature that was in Saul is still in the hearts of every one of us. I don't know what your situation is. I wouldn't try to guess. But I would imagine in a group this large, there are 100 and more stories that could answer back saying, you should know my situation, what I'm dealing with. You're dealing with sinful people. Don't be surprised that they turn on you or mistreat you. 2, since mistreatment is inevitable, anticipate feelings of revenge. And I'm talking realistically now. Straight talk, strong advice, which I promised as we began. Since mistreatment is inevitable, anticipate feelings of revenge. Everything within you will rise up. And you'll tell a few close friends and they'll be right there to bolster your response. They'll call it justifiable retaliation. If you don't take care of your own rights, who will? The spirit of entitlement in the 21st century, I find nauseating. I find it among the young and the older. This is my right. I've got this coming. You know what you have coming? Hell. That's all you have coming, and that's all I have coming. If it weren't for the grace of God, we wouldn't have another breath in our lungs. How nauseating is the spirit of entitlement. Since mistreatment is inevitable, anticipate feelings of revenge. It's the nature of the beast. You're human, you're depraved, so you'll be tempted to tighten your fist and wait for the moment, like that other bumper sticker I saw in Southern California. I don't get mad, I get even. Always bothered me as a runner to run near cars like that. What exactly do they have in mind? Getting even with whom? Give up getting even. You wind up a bitter old woman or crotchety old man by living your life trying to get even. Number three, since feelings of revenge are predictable, refuse to fight in the flesh. Since feelings of revenge are predictable, do what David did. Say no to the flesh. Even when he had Saul right where his flesh wanted him, he couldn't draw his sword from its sheath. The most he could do was slice off a part of his robe and in a matter of moments feel terrible about that. He chose not to yield to the lowest nature within him. Fourth and finally, since flesh fights occur so naturally, determine now to leave all vengeance with God. Since flesh fights occur so naturally, determine now to leave all vengeance with God. You might wonder, since you're caught up in the age of the 21st century in our culture, where on earth did you get that, Chuck? Right from the Bible, Romans 12, verse 19 and following. Dear friends, never take revenge. Did you hear that? Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead of taking revenge, it's going to be hard to hear this, but here's straight talk and strong advice, what I promised to deliver when I began. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. By the way, this is a personal matter. This is not national defense. Don't smear this across every possible situation. A nation that's being attacked is another subject. This is personal advice for you and for me individually. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. If it's any help to you, I will confess to you, I was not raised like that. And the friends I chose were not friends like David. And I have lived to realize that God's word is true. He will do exactly what he says he will do. He will help you. He will help me. We do not have to fight in the flesh in an attempt to defend ourselves. The Lord will fight our battles for us. Whoa. By now, if I were any other place, most likely half this audience would be gone. It's not only what you rarely hear, it's what you don't want to hear, which is exactly why I'm delivering the message today. I have a responsibility to tell the truth. And I cannot find the words to mean anything other than what I have presented to you. And I sleep well tonight knowing I've told you the truth. What you do with them, I leave with you. You know what I believe? I believe this message will keep some of you from killing someone else. I think this message will cause some of you to cease that ugly retaliation you have been planning. I believe that when you really take this to heart, you will lay down the sword and you will say, Lord, I trust you to deal with this. Men and women, I have been there. This is not theory. And I will tell you, when the Lord steps in, it's an amazing thing to watch. And frankly, it's sometimes so severe, I grieve what I've witnessed. Lord means business, folks. We're not playing at this. This is serious stuff. This is straight talk and strong words. Let's pray. This may be a good time for you to, shall we say, lay down the hatchet, unload the gun, toss the knife in the river, give it up. Give it up. Lay your situation before the Lord and trust Him to honor your righteous response. He will. And if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, all of this is going to seem really strange to you, because a humble, contrite heart begins by coming to the cross and turning your life over to Jesus, who modeled all of this perfectly, and at age 33, gave up his life. Teach us, Lord, to walk with you in a way that pleases you, even when it creates laughter on the part of our colleagues and cynicism and mocking from those who see it as foolish. Make us such clear and unique witnesses for Jesus Christ that what we have to say will be heard by those who cannot believe our actions. Free us, our Father, from pride over doing this. We are doing this out of humility, not pride. May we quietly acquiesce. May we learn to submit. May we learn to respect authority in our lives. In the blessed name of Christ, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
Concluding his convicting message on respecting authority, you're listening to Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. As a means for taking your next steps in cultivating the virtue of respect, let me draw your attention to a free resource designed to help you dig deeper on your own. I'm referring to the online study notes called Searching the Scriptures. You can type your personal thoughts into the online PDF and keep a record of what you've learned, or feel free to print them out for your small group discussions. And many of our listeners are using these notes to share God's Word with others. You'll find one Searching the Scriptures outline for every message Chuck delivers when you go online to insightworld.org/studies. In addition to hearing Chuck's message today, we'd like to recommend that you read a book he's written called Great Days with the Great Lives. All of us need role models worth following, men and women who show us what it means to respect authority. Well, in this collection of 365 devotional chapters, Chuck leads you on a daily journey into the hearts and lives of God's heroes. Again, his book is titled Great Days with the Great Lives, and it's available to purchase when you go to insight.org/offer. In closing, we'd like to thank our monthly companions and all those who give generously, because your consistent financial support allows us to serve as a dispenser of God's grace. We often hear from grateful people who depend on Chuck's consistent teaching to help them remain calm amidst the chaos of their lives. On their behalf, thank you for your generous and faithful giving. And as a way to reach more people, we're inviting you to join our support team as a monthly companion. As you're prepared to take this next step, you can easily sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
Or it might be quicker if you follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly companion. To give a one-time donation, give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
There's a simple and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
Become a monthly companion today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Together, let's introduce people to the God who says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness."
Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Thursday when Chuck Swindoll presents a message on cultivating humility right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Respecting Authority, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.